Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's a podcast that's hosted by yours truly, Kyle Sconewill, and my longtime friend from work over here to my right, Robbie Earl. Robbie, welcome to the final week of summer.
Is that the final week of summer officially or of our summer?
I think more our summer, but isn't Labor Day also kind of like the official end as far as like you can't wear white pants after Labor
Day? That's a good point. It's a huge burden for me because it's like every other day I'm rocking the white pants and then all of a sudden it's like I have to totally restructure my entire wardrobe. People never see that because this is always just waist up, but every single time I'm recording pre-Labor Day, white pants.
The only white pants I wear are while I'm golfing. Although there was that white party, remember? Didn't like Kanye or Kim Kardashian? Oh, right. You know what I'm talking about? In like the Hamptons or something? Yeah. Well, that doesn't happen after Labor Day. That's my point. Welcome back, man. We had an epic month off. The way it kind of worked, which was actually perfect, you and I... you did your trip first to the Italy coast, right? The Italian coast and the Mediterranean. And then I did a Lake Michigan summer vacation as well, but we did it just alternating. And so it's been literally a full month since we've been here.
Yeah. And then we got back and Pete, the kind of third member of team FFW, then took a vacation as soon as you got back. So we've just really been work-life balancing it up.
Tell me a tiny bit about your vacation. Give me the elevator pitch.
Yeah. So I feel like the only thing people care less about than other people's dreams is other people's vacations.
or fantasy football teams. That's the saying.
So yeah, I'll keep it short. Basically, Candace is very good at planning trips and has been steadily planning this one for some time. And it wound up kind of coinciding with her birthday and some other friends of ours being in Europe around the same time. And so everyone kind of converged on this spot that Candace was able to rent in Tuscany. And so and I went over a little bit early and spent some time on the coast, the Croatia side of Italy, which was insane. We went to the city where they filmed the opening scenes in the last James Bond, No Time to Die. Like, you know, when he goes to Vesper's grave and it's that crazy looking. So.
And they do the motorcycle, like kind of attack or race on that little bridge. I saw your picture. It looked pretty dope. Yeah.
It was cool. It was actually that entire portion of the trip was just me trying to channel my Daniel Craig. Because we were in, like, when we were on the beach, it felt very like Casino Royale-esque, you know. But then we met up with folks in the Tuscan area, and it was good. It was like a good, wholesome time with friends, and I did not open work like at all for like a week straight, which is not something that has happened in a bit, even after the surgeries and stuff. So it was like a very kind of hard reset. It was nice. How about
you? The pictures looked amazing. Yeah. I had a similar experience, not to Europe, but we went to the Lake Michigan coast and stayed in a mansion literally 100 yards from Lake Michigan. And we did the first 5 days with Annika's family and then the second 5 days with my family. And it was unbelievable. I shared some pictures on our Patreon and our Substack, but the weather was perfect. And this house has all glass kind of windows on the back facing the lake. So with like automated curtains, so Annika and I would wake up and then you just push this button, the curtains go up and you're staring at the lake. You literally feel like you're in a cruise ship because you can't see the sand from the window. You just see the water.
Oh, and, that's crazy.
It was literally paradise. So we had a blast. Back now, weather's starting to turn a little bit cooler. I'm starting to get a little bit closer to the fall football weather that I like, although you're probably not in Austin. But yeah, excited to be back on this podcast too.
Well, I'm just glad that that my house up there, my mansion, treated you well. I've been wanting to get you up there to let you spend a bit of time.
I've been meaning to say thank you. So appreciate it.
You're welcome. Always. You're always welcome. That is one of the things about Nashville that I've probably said before I miss. We're both in the South. We both get really hot summers, but there comes a time of the year where the roads diverge and you start to move into a legitimate fall. And
you stay at 100 degrees. This is us. And then
it's so sad because I keep looking at like the 10-day forecast, and any time it even goes to 99, which I think is the lowest it's been, at least in recent memory, I'm like, oh man, it's like added triple digits. That's incredible. And then the next 3 days are all like 105, 106, 107.
Yeah, we're now at 89 and 90, and I'm still like, man, I'm getting tired of this. Like, I need 80, 78, 75. But yeah, you're a long ways from that. 3 more months, probably. Dude.
October.
This episode, not only a reunion for us, I had plans for this episode 4 months ago. So when I was in the heat of Secret Invasion ending like that week, and then you and I kind of parted ways for a little bit, I took notes on how I'd want to fix Disney Plus and just the difference in the critic score and the audience scores of all these films this summer. And what's weird and actually crazy refreshing, it's amazing to me when you actually do step away from it for a while, like if you get off Twitter, if you go to these vacations, you just kind of catch your breath. I'm now coming back a month later, not really wanting to get into any of these notes. Like I found myself just refueled, recharged, and not really caring about all this stuff in the negative light, I mean, anymore. And it was really refreshing. And so weirdly, I do want to reflect on Secret Invasion and a little bit the summer what was, and we got to rank it. But I am not coming in as guns a-blazing as I thought I would be today. I'm just ready for a new positive era. That's what I'm ready for.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it is kind of nice just I feel like for the last year or two, well, I don't even know that that's accurate. I think the period between, like, 2021 and, I guess, the end of 2022, it just felt like everything had such a magnifying glass on it. Like it was like every bit of news we got was this thing that was worthy of coverage and speculation. And I think, which is not bad. And a lot of that is also excitement, you know, being channeled in a particular way. But I also think that it just makes it all start to feel really intense. Like we're watching some kind of.
Yes. Like, good point.
Game and trying to see like is Disney going to win this one? Like where are the points going to be scored or lost? Or like my sports analogy is breaking down. But my point is,
I'm losing points.
I think it is kind of nice to just like to step back and look at what we have coming and be excited for it and moving a bit out of the phase of having to react so much.
It's weird because I think you hit the nail on the head. That is the biggest shift I've seen. It's not that people, for the most part, at least the last couple of years, like it less or are less passionate about it. It's actually the extreme amount of passion that things like Endgame created
Right.
And then the rise of the social media culture where you have to have a take, it became a thing where, yeah, it's more like you're following a sports team with casting rumors and whatnot. And we're getting closer and closer to that and further from just enjoying it. But I'm saying, take a break a little bit. When you take a break, hi, Candace, by the way. When you take a break, it can be really refreshing. Because now I'm just fired up to actually go into the fall and watch Loki and the Marvels. And I've got my mind cleared of that stuff. And I'm really excited about it, actually.
Which did we, I feel like one of the last things we covered before we took a break was the kind of record-breaking Loki trailer, right? We've talked about that.
Correct. And just in summary, we had a massive summer here on Friends from Work. So if you haven't caught up, you've had a month to catch up, but I still think there is time to catch up on some of those episodes. We did, I want to say 6 or 7 other films as well under Screensaver. Had Candace and Emily, speaking of Candace, guest star on a Barbie episode.
Which, by the way, I feel like has gotten quite a lot of buzz. So I want to recommend that folks go check that out if they enjoy Barbie or if they just want to kind of get a different take on the Screensaver stuff.
Which Barbie actually officially I saw yesterday passed Super Mario Bros. As the highest grossing film of the entire year so far.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like above a billion, I think, now and headed in that direction, which is crazy.
Did you see the Alamo Drafthouse headline about Barbie over the last couple of days?
No.
Apparently Barbie just crossed the mark of the most, it beat Endgame as the most profitable movie for Alamo Drafthouse of all time.
That's crazy. That's wild.
It is wild.
By the way, I saw your wife commenting on this too. Have you seen the news about the Taylor Swift stuff that's coming up? She's putting out a film on her Eras tour, right? And the pre-sales are like matching Avengers Endgame.
Dude, it is insane the amount of power, economic power that one person has.
She is a star beyond stars at this point.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's insane.
Anyways, there are a ton of episodes to catch up on. Robbie and I, in general, had a blast this summer. Indiana Jones and The Flash, dating all the way back to then. Spider-Verse, into the Spider-Verse this year. Guardians 3, dating back to our February coverage of Quantumania. And, you know, we're talking about the critic thing and some of the differences in the critic score and audience score throughout the summer. And then you brought up the way our culture is shifting. It was made apparent to me this last week because I posted on our Discord that we're going to be doing a rewatch of Moon Knight really soon, which I freaking love.
Right. Right.
And a lot of our listeners are like, oh, good. I can't wait to get into it because I loved it. But so many people online didn't like it. And truly, this is what the break has done for me. I guess I was even unaware of the fact that there's a rise in people not liking that show. Like, I loved Moon Knight and didn't know that people didn't like it. And it was actually a very blissful place to be. Like, I didn't need to know that people don't like it because I loved it. And so we'll be getting into that soon.
Yeah. Well, and I guess two things there. One, that was kind of my experience during Secret Invasion. And, you know, we'll talk about Secret Invasion here in a second as we're reflecting. But I think that was the first time, it was the first time that I've been so offline while you and a lot of our listeners have been online. And so I was coming to Secret Invasion once a week, having no real context other than our conversations. And it was, I feel like, such a different experience. I'm not, again, we'll talk about that more qualitatively, but it is wild how much when you're talking about a show and like on the, you know, one end of the extreme with WandaVision, it was so fun being online while that show was out because
good point.
It was this kind of group, like everyone's talking about it and it enhanced it. But at the same time, like that cuts both ways. And whenever everybody is just piling onto a thing and whenever it just feels like that's the mode period, I think it's a, but the other thing I was going to say on the Moon Knight front, just before I forget, that is our plan coming up, just in case people are trying to kind of get reoriented. Starting next week, we are going to continue our Phase 4 rewatch, and the timing is going to be kind of perfect. We didn't even really plan it this way, but our next chunk in the Phase 4 rewatch ends with Loki season 1. And then we will roll straight from that into our coverage of the Loki season 2 premiere. Yes. So our Loki rewatch episode will also be our spoiler-free preview for Loki season 2. So that'll be a fun one for people that are just kind of trying to get reacquainted. But yeah, that's what the next couple of weeks will look like here on the main feed.
That's a good point. Now is probably a good time to do a couple of housekeeping things. I said there were a ton of episodes that you can catch up on from this summer. But over on Friends From Work Plus, we released a bunch of fun just discussions on MCU deep dives and things like that that you can check out if you want to subscribe. But also, we're going to be finishing up our Daredevil Season 3 coverage over there, episodes 2 and 3 of that, which we're really looking forward to, so that'll be fun. And then here on the main feed, we're going to be doing a rewatch of a few different projects. I think it's Eternals, Moon Knight, and then Loki. That's what you said, right? So that's what's coming up here after reflection on Secret Invasion.
Eternals, Moon Knight, Love and Thunder, and then Loki.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to get that in there. You got your reference in there.
Don't forget my boy. Which, by the way, talking about Screensaver and just the rest of the year, I finally saw the trailer for the new Taika Michael Fassbender film before the last movie we went to in theaters. And it looks really great. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, the soccer movie, right? Yeah, that'll be covered on Screensaver for sure. Yeah. And then, as you said, you know, I'm working on a friendly reminder for YouTube, which is really fun. I just sent you the script to kind of review and edit, which is a fun thing that we do where we catch people up on everything that's happened to Loki before Loki. Mm-hmm. And then season 2 starts October 6th, and you and I have some fun plans for that as far as when those episodes are going to release, which, by the way, welcome to Monday episodes. You're hearing this on a Monday.
Because
Loki is now releasing on Friday night, which, again, just stay tuned because that's going to tie into my Secret Invasion thing here in a second.
Yeah.
But that's going to give us some time to record on Friday nights or Saturday mornings and then get the episode to you all on Mondays, but maybe mixing in a live on YouTube kind of thing on Friday night or a group watch, which is something you and I have been discussing, even with these rewatches, is how can we actually get more listeners to do the rewatches with us? So we really want the Loki conversation to be current and all of us having it at the same time, which maybe the new time slot rumored could help with, which I'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
But then it's Loki right into the Marvels, which we have some big plans for. And then I think as of now, Echo still dropping all at once later this fall. That's basically at this point all we know confirmed with the MCU because of the writer's strike. Who knows after that what the beginning of 2024 even looks like anymore. It's constantly changing, so much so that it's not even worth updating everyone on because it's always changing.
Well, and I think to that point, I'm gonna fact check here while we're talking, but I think that the Friends From Work news correspondent Greg Arnold informed me that Echo has been pushed to 24 potentially.
Oh, it has been pushed back. Gosh, it's always changing. That stuff's killing me these days.
I think you know, and we can figure out the right way to talk about that. I think I'm still in a spot where you know, I remember when things were getting pushed back during COVID and we were kind of coming off of that big drought after Endgame and Far From Home. And it was always a real bummer when we would see like WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier getting like continually pushed. But I'm still at a spot now where we just got so much so fast in Phase 4 that I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm okay with if that's what the project needs. And that's going to make it the best it can be. And obviously the writing strike stuff is playing into that. But I think, you know, we've got...
Well, we
Loki,
need the writer's strike to end for a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons.
Not just for us. Yeah.
But yes, I think to confirm, it looks like Echo is now set for January 24, tentatively.
Okay. I will say there is a dark gap of a lack of content usually that happens in January and February that I did, you know, I said last year I wanted a show there. Like, why not put a show there? Just because, you know, people are stuck inside, it's dreary outside, and like you got nothing else going on. That's when you drop a show. That's what happened with WandaVision. which I thought was such a win. So
yeah, true. That's a good point.
Okay, let's get into some Secret Invasion, some Disney Plus reflection, the summer that was, after a quick word from these sponsors. All right, I'm going to try my other camera as long as it will last. then we'll switch back again if I have to. You know, to kind of sum up everything you just said in the intro, we were talking about Loki and the different cultural shift and then Secret Invasion, and are they changing their Loki release schedule and how is that going to look different, and then Echo being pushed back and the writer's track. I feel like a good summary of all that is, from our perspective, a lot of times hot or cold on a project is good for us and makes for good content and good discussion. Mm-hmm. So like early on in phase four, I think for a lot of fans, when they did a huge swing like Multiverse of Madness, some people hated it. Some people loved it, like Candace. And Ultimately, I think that discussion was a pretty much a good thing for most fans. Like, it kept the MCU relevant, even if it was relevant in a negative light. Okay. Right. As we've gone along since then, I feel like the danger of Secret Invasion was it's teetering on a lukewarm response to the MCU, which I think after resting with it for a month, that's where I ultimately ended up. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I took a month off to refresh, but I also didn't think about Secret Invasion a ton for the last month. And I wonder how many of our listeners are in that boat where just like, it's not like anything horrible, in my opinion, happened in the show. I don't think the MCU has gone so awry that it's unfixable and I'm not going to make a YouTube video about it. But for the most part, I was pretty just lukewarm on it. Like, I didn't think about it a lot. I don't have the same passion currently at this exact moment as I did maybe 4 years ago. I think that's the danger of where Secret Invasion is kind of landing for me.
Yeah. Well, you almost want to be upset if something isn't excellent, because that shows where your expectations are. It shows where they have set the expectations, I guess I should say. I don't know. I still don't. I think I'm probably in a similar spot with Secret Invasion. I think I came into it I think I was just, maybe it's because I was really busy with work, but I wasn't putting a ton of pressure on it. And so I think that I was pleasantly surprised about midway through when I just started to really, there were just things that I really liked. Like, I really liked Olivia Colman in that show. I really liked just having that much screen time with Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury after not having that for so long. And then even in, you know, Far From Home having it, but not having it, like, it did feel a bit like what you and I had wanted in terms of a more kind of classic down the middle MCU project, not in terms of quality, but in terms of tone and approach. And I do think the thing that, like, I would like to see more of in Secret Invasion, or sorry, in the MCU that Secret Invasion did, was reminding us that we are still in a world that looks a bit like the world outside our window, which I know is a weird thing to say about the show that involves the green shape-shifting aliens, but it's
good,
like,
point.
It's just after Endgame, they had to. I mean, we said that. Like, they had to lean into the world is so different now. But that is also the thing that I've talked about before I struggle with when it comes to Marvel Comics, which is at some point when you have this many, like, planet-ending events and, like, mega god cosmic-level threats, it's just these people are no longer going to be recognizable to us. Like, the average person that lives in that world has such a different experience and like cosmology that I like that whether or not it's believable that we're now kind of coming back to like a world where you have a president making decisions based on international politics, not based on whether or not there's some kind of like massive threat or not. Also like that it's not being made by Nick Fury or by like Ross right. or by whoever. Like it starts to feel like, okay, like even if this is a stretch that we would have bounced back this quick, I like that it feels a bit like the world that we were first introduced to in 2008.
That's such a good point. There were a lot of things about Secret Invasion that I enjoyed a lot. And I wonder how much overall the vibe would be different amongst fans if the show had been called Nick Fury. I've said that before, but just not trying to tackle the Secret Invasion storyline per se, but telling the same story, but just more a reflection on where Nick Fury's at and where he's going. I agree with everything you said. I liked the look out your window feel. I liked seeing all the ramifications on actual humans on Earth. I love seeing Olivia Coleman and the introduction to some new characters, and most importantly, getting Nick Fury and Sam Jackson a chance to kind of stretch his legs a little bit. And I liked the slow pace overall, where we let ourselves sit with scenes of long dialogue, and that was okay. And I really enjoyed that. I did feel like the finale left me meh, but this is maybe a good spot to go ahead and just rank it, because where I've struggled with ranking this, Robbie, is the finale did leave me feeling meh, but I felt like throughout the show, it was mostly giving me at a high quality level the stuff I was looking for. Like you and I talked about in the episodes multiple times that like visually this looked great. Mm-hmm. I liked the pace. I liked the dialogue. Like for the most part, the writing was coming together, and I liked the added intensity in the violence department. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, I feel like critically it was doing a lot, but I did leave feeling meh. And I think on a critical perspective, it just felt like by the end for me that maybe they tried to bite off a little more than they could chew by the way they just kind of like scrambled the ending together, it felt like. And Gravik was just wiped out. And like, I did love that post-credit scene or like not post-credit scene, but towards the end, the sequence of seeing the ramifications now of humans that are angry at Skrulls.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it did feel like it was kind of rushed into the ending. And when I zoom out on it, like I've said this a million times, I just am left feeling like, okay, that was a fine story. So for me, what's been really hard is like on the preference front, because of that feeling, I think I would go somewhere in like the 5th to 6th best show range. So like WandaVision, Moon Knight, Loki, I think I maybe even prefer Hawkeye. And then it's for me, it's like She-Hulk and Secret Invasion there probably. And then Ms. Marvel and Falcon Winter Soldier behind that. But critically, I don't know. We have to come to a joint ranking here. I had it 5th critically. Critically, WandaVision, Loki, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Secret Invasion, Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel, Falcon, Winter Soldier. Now, critically on Rotten Tomatoes, it's the lowest score Marvel's ever had. But again, I think that's influenced the entire summer. The scores were all whack. I think our culture's changing for those kinds of scores. We don't need to get into that. So I'm not going to like take that into account a lot. I think a lot of people felt like me, like the show was pretty good and doing some cool stuff and then maybe fell flat at the end. How would you rank it? Somewhere in that lower middle range? Is that fair? Or would you go higher?
No, I think that's probably right. I ultimately, if we're talking preference.
Do you prefer this or She-Hulk? Do you prefer this or Moon Knight? Do you prefer this or Hawkeye?
I think I like all those more. The only thing is, you know, we'll talk about this when we get to Hawkeye. Like I feel like a lot of my things kind of moved around on my most recent rewatch, and then I'll probably come back to them again as we're going through phase 4. But Hawkeye, I feel like has aged pretty well for me, actually. So that's one that was lower that I think has gone up. Moon Knight.
Well, mainly, I think the finale of Hawkeye is not as bad as we thought originally. Not
yeah,
quite.
No. I think that's right. I think what's hard about that for me is I look at like Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight, and those are shows that I think are objectively a lot better than parts of Secret Invasion, certainly. But it's really hard for me to get past how nice it is to be back in like this ongoing story that we were so invested in for so long, that it's like there is a part of me that can imagine myself watching Secret Invasion and enjoying it more than going back and revisiting Ms. Marvel, just because it feels a little bit more like home to me, like as the longtime MCU fan. So it just gets really tricky when I'm ranking it. But I think, I mean, it's definitely right in that zone, which would what? So you're saying where is Hawkeye numerically?
For me or for us?
I guess for us. Actually, can you just read off our current ranking to refresh everybody and myself?
Yeah, and for those watching, I'll put it on the screen here. WandaVision 1, Loki 2, Moon Knight 3, She-Hulk Attorney at Law 4, Hawkeye 5, Ms. Marvel 6, Falcon Winter Soldier 7. With the context of we like all of them.
Right. And these are obviously just the live action ones.
Right, yeah.
I think I'd go
5 or 6 above Ms. Marvel and below Hawkeye, or above Hawkeye and below She-Hulk. Is that about it?
Yeah, I think probably above Ms. Marvel below preference Hawkeye. Wise with the, you know, with my big caveat being, had Ms. Marvel done a lot of the stuff that we talked about during that time, like I think Ms. Marvel had the opportunity to do the things that I liked about Secret Invasion better, you know, like
that's true. The first two episodes.
Yeah. Well, and like whenever it felt rooted in, like, that's the thing. It's for so long, and maybe I'm, you know, walking things back, but I just think the more I look back at Phase 4, I was really glad that we tried so many new things instead of just immediately kind of going back to the well. But there's also a degree of like, you know, we are invested in this universe, like this ongoing story. And I think that there were parts of Phase 4 where it just felt like so disconnected. And like, I look back on the Infinity Saga and really, like, if you look at the pacing of it, and I think you and I maybe talked about this recently on a Plus episode or here, it's all blending together, but really, like, Phase 2, for example, you had Ant-Man. That was the only new introduction in the entire phase. Like, you had set everybody up. And then Phase 3, you had the introduction of Spider-Man, which doesn't quite count because it's Spider-Man. And then you had like Black Panther introduced in Civil War as a part of that story and then given his own film. And the only characters that really showed up for the first time in a standalone capacity were Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel. And then, you know, and that's still stretched out across however many films, but like where there was a very clear narrative leading to Endgame. And this is not like we have said for the longest time. My complaint with Phase 4 is not that it's, you know, there wasn't a good enough through line or something. It's just like when I look back at so many new things that didn't connect to each other, like Eternals is new and didn't really connect to anything else that we've seen yet. You know, Werewolf by Night, which I get as a special, kind of the same thing. And then Shang-Chi, like we did get like the great credit scene, which I loved, but it's just like you don't, it's not like you're, And any one of those things, like I think Shang-Chi is such a great example of that being done really well, like the new thing. And then like the post-credit scene at the end, it hooks it in a way that doesn't really compromise the film. But it's like But it's just we didn't get much of that for so long that it's like even in projects like Falcon Winter Soldier that were very much like at the core of the MCU in terms of the characters it focused on, we couldn't really see how it was impacting mm-hmm. anything beyond that show. So I
That's
just think
exactly
like
exactly where I'm at too. Exactly. That I love the foundation that Marvel laid in phase one. I felt like they started to ramp it up and continue it in phase two. And then phase three is some of my favorite film ever. And there's a part of me that's emotionally still in that phase, you know, left mm-hmm. there, a piece of my heart with Endgame. But I really wanted them in phase four to try new things, try new characters. I mean, go back on this podcast. We said 100 times, we don't want them to try to run back the Infinity Saga because right. then you're belittling the thing that was already perfect. Like, don't right away make a new Avengers movie and it's just a new team. Then I'm right. like, what? What was the point of all of the other stuff we just watched? So that was me for sure. And for the most part, I felt like personally in phase four, a lot of the characters, they got me intrigued. Like, I am intrigued yeah. by a lot of them. Like, WandaVision was as perfect as a first step for Disney Plus in the new phase as they ever could have done. Like, I couldn't mm-hmm. imagine a better beginning. And to follow that up right away with Loki, and Loki breaking open this multiversal idea. And then all the new characters that were introduced, for the most part, I'm really intrigued. Like, I loved Ms. Marvel as a character. I want to know mm-hmm. more about her. I love Shang-Chi as a character. I want to know what he's up to. And that's my point. I think we're now just reaching the moment where, okay, I've gotten the multiversal introduction and explanation like 4 times in different things now. Like, I know right. what it is. And you gave me some new characters that I am stoked on. But it's now felt like it's been so long and so disconnected. I'm not wanting an Avengers movie every year. I'm not saying that. But it's felt like, to your point, the lack of those Shang-Chi type credit scenes, which was such a good, perfect tie-in, even uh-huh. though the whole movie was isolated, the lack of not having those and having all new characters with no follow-up on them, I'm now at the point where I'm like, I think depending on where they go in phase 5 and 6, I may look back on phase 4 even more fondly if they find a way to come back and tie a ton of that together. Like, I need to know now what Shang-Chi's up to. Is he working with Bruce? Is he working with Carol? Like, where has he been with that stuff? Loki is it. We're going to find out, but he's been gone. We don't know. They broke open the Kang thing, but then we haven't had a chance to follow up with him on that. You know,
right.
White Vision disappeared right. and we have never heard from him again. Miss Marvel, I need follow up. And we're just now starting to get it. So I think we're getting to that point where hopefully we get it. And it kind of Rogue One ties all these threads together and we go, oh, that's cool. Like Moon Knight, mm-hmm. right? What a dope character. Where is he? I need to hear a follow-up.
Right. right. No, I think that's right. And again, it's one of the reasons why I'm excited for a rewatch here, because
yeah. Let's go.
I think that when you can contextualize those things, and I don't hold that against Disney, because so much of their release schedule was messed up because of the pandemic. But I think when you can set it up as, okay, this is the phase where we are introducing new things, and we're just kind of like, if you're looking at the globe within the MCU and you're seeing just different little points light up and knowing that eventually those will connect more, I think that's fine. It's just there were times where it felt very much like a shotgun blast of content, and
yeah, 100%.
It was difficult to know what each thing was supposed to be, and so I do wonder if that contributed to exhaustion. They get so fixated on the what ifs of it all, and could this connect in this way, and I bet this is where we're going, and then when what you get is just another show that could be really great, but it doesn't do any of the things that you're hoping it would, and it doesn't connect to anything else yep. that you would like to see it connect to, then you're going to inherently be a little bit disappointed.
Which is partially why phase 4 ages very well on a rewatch.
Yeah.
And why yeah. I really encourage our audience to do it. Now that you kind of know what happened and those expectations are gone, and you're not looking for individual shows to carry the weight of what you were just saying, when you're not looking for that, I think people would be surprised. Like, Hawkeye mm-hmm. is a pretty freaking great show.
Yeah.
It really is. I feel that way about a lot of them. And that transitions me perfectly into my closing thought for today's episode. I had jotted down notes after Secret Invasion of, here's my official guide to how I would fix Disney Plus. I kind of just talked about how I think I would ramp up Phase 5 and 6 for Secret Wars. Like, if they can pull off Secret Wars, it could be one of the coolest stories they've ever told. Like, if they mm-hmm. find a way to bring in all these multiverses and all of these different sagas, and it comes to this head against Kang, and like, if that all comes together, it could be one of the coolest things ever. So there's still time, I think, for the MCU to get totally back on top. I really believe mm-hmm. that. I do. But here's my official guide. I've put some thought into this, into what I would specifically do for Disney Plus. And this transitioned me perfectly into Loki, which is where we're headed within a month now.
Nice.
I think my first point, Robbie, I would do away personally with the 6-episode format.
Mm.
Especially 6 episodes that are under 45 minutes. I really think to tell a full story, a la Daredevil on our Friends from Work Plus mm-hmm. feed, you really need to get this closer to that 8, 9, 10 episode range, like in WandaVision or She-Hulk, right. even if they're shorter episodes. So the first thing is I would just get rid of the 6-episode format. And if that means that you don't have budget for 4 shows, that's okay. That's my second point. I would then create 2 shows a year. Mm-hmm. So cut up your 4 shows, go with 2 high-budget 10-episode shows, 45 minutes each. Put all of your money into that. Don't mm-hmm. try to give me more. Decide what your best 2 are and then run with that. So no more 6 episodes and only make 2 shows a year. Again, I don't think they're going to do all this, but this is what I would do.
Yeah.
And then I also wouldn't make any episodes that are under 45 minutes long. So again, let's go to 8 to 10 episodes, no more 6 episodes, that are 45 minutes plus. And then if you don't have enough budget for it, only put the full budget into 2 shows a year, a la Stranger Things, something like that.
Yeah.
Then, most importantly, I would start releasing them at about 8 p.m. Central on a certain time. And that's why my transition is perfect, because the mm-hmm. rumor is that I think Loki is finally doing that. We are finally, I think, moving to Friday evenings. And I think if it's going to be like Ahsoka on Star Wars, uh-huh. it's going to be at like 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern, which is what we've been asking for forever, because now we can all be in on the conversation at the same yeah. time. No one's staying up till 3 a.m. to watch it. Let's all watch it at 8, and then you and I can react to it even live on YouTube like it was a football game that we just finished. Like, how fun would that be? But yeah. we can't do that when it's 2 a.m. So no more 6 episodes. Make them over 45 minutes long. Create just 2 shows a year. Release them at 8 p.m. Central. And then lastly, a la Secret Invasion, I think don't take source material that is too large in scope for the show. Like, keep the shows the filler stuff. Keep the shows the Daredevil. Keep the shows like
yeah.
background on Nick Fury. Keep the shows in the WandaVision light, where it's an isolated story, or Ms. Marvel, the first 2 episodes, where it's like, here's a new character learning her powers at school. Keep it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Don't try to tackle a subject matter that's too big in the first place. So those are my 5 points.
Yeah. And I think Hawkeye in some ways is the perfect example of that when you're talking yes. about scope.
Yep, 100%.
I think that is something like, the more I look back, not saying that is ranked above or below any of these other shows we're discussing, but just in terms of, I do, it nailed the scope.
Yes.
It had a character that you care about, that you followed. It was a fun way of introducing a new character that I feel like everyone immediately loved. The way that they brought in Florence Pugh's character,
yes.
the way they brought in Vincent D'Onofrio's character, like, it never felt overstuffed to me. It felt like a fun right. way of exploring a corner of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it wasn't trying to do anything beyond that.
Look at us pro Hawkeye today. Isn't that crazy?
I know, right?
We did not plan that. Dude, totally. It also had some of the connectivity, right? It had Rogers the Musical. It had Hawkeye reflecting on his career. But yeah, then bringing in those new characters. Again, I've said this before. The only change there is I wish the finale wasn't goofy in tone. I wish there wasn't that goof because Hawkeye having the conversation with Yelena on the ice is really great.
Right.
Just I get pulled out of it a little bit. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I actually think it was doing a ton of what we're asking it to do. Correct.
I do. I wonder, and I have not seen Ahsoka yet.
Me either.
So is that dropping the night before its actual release date? Or is that dropping like, because I think what I've heard from, I think Greg told me at one point that he thought what we might be getting is Thursday night drops of Loki. And then, technically the release kind of being, which I don't know how, I don't know. I don't know how that would all function, but.
Well, Thursday night would be great as far as, I don't care if it's Thursday or Friday. In some ways, Thursday would probably be better for you and I. But I think that's a dumb thing in general. Like, it's kind of dumb how film has done that too. Like, a movie comes out Friday, but really you can see it Thursday night. But then really, if you get early, you can go Thursday at noon. And then it's like Wednesday night screening.
you know? Yeah.
But I don't care either way as long as it's in the evening, honestly.
Yeah, it would be weird for, I feel like for them to make such a big deal about swapping it to Friday and then swap it again this close. But I feel like they've done things like that before. But yeah, I agree. It does seem like, and I just didn't know if we would ever get that. Like you and I have been talking about that early. Well, we've been talking about the Friday shift for a long time because that was how it was for the first two projects. WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier both released on Fridays. And it was fun because we would go, like, I think most people would watch them that night, Friday night, like you do shows that like when you watch HBO shows, like the things we've talked about that do release at like 9 p.m. on a Sunday. And I think that ever since Loki shifted that to Wednesday, I do think that like Loki, because it was Tom Hiddleston and because the show was so good and because it did do a lot of actual carrying things forward work, maybe as much as any other Phase 4 entry, I think that show survived it. But I look at every other Disney Plus show that's followed it, and I feel like every series has suffered a bit from kind of feeling increasingly lost in the milieu, you know, where it's like it doesn't feel like a moment in the week when an episode drops in the way it does other series from other networks.
Right, 100%. Look, in closing, if you are currently lukewarm on the MCU, I actually legitimately do think there are signs of hope, reasons to believe that this can turn around. One of which is, first of all, Loki looks awesome. To go way back, the trailer that you talked about is one of the most watched trailers for a Disney Plus show ever. People are clearly interested in this character. The fact that we're finally getting some connective tissue, not just on his story, but the fact that Kang's now been in Quantumania. If he's going to be in the show, we're going to finally start seeing those seeds planted of what multiple Kang variants can look like. So I think some follow-up there is amazing, not to mention the star power of Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston. So I think Loki as a series, and Hoi Kwan, our boy he's always in the multiversal stories, which I love. Short round. The fact that show looks awesome is one thing. The second thing is I think that it seems they are learning a little bit as they're trying this, right? Just like we all are.
Right.
And the fact that they are moving this to a Friday evening or a Thursday evening seems like they are learning their lesson a little bit. And then that's my last pitch, which is that not only did the break for me give me a chance to refresh, I really hope that the studios and Marvel Studios in particular and Disney are having a chance right now to catch their breath and refresh and refocus what their plan is. Not just in the plot side of things, but they need to figure out what to do with the writer's strike. They have to give the writers more of what they want. And and hopefully this lukewarm feeling from fans and the disappointing box office numbers for all these studios across the summer, other than Barbie and Oppenheimer, like those numbers being down and just the overall reception, they're now with the strike getting a chance to look at themselves and go, okay, how can we change this for next year and for the following year? And that's my third reason of hope, is like, hopefully they can take some of these lessons and apply them to next phase, basically, or the rest of phase five. And so I do think there is a clear path for the MCU to kind of get back on top, and not on top like it's a sports game, but just that we all care about the cultural moment. And it feels like we're taking a few of those steps.
Yeah. The thing that's always separated Marvel from not only other superhero projects, but also just other kind of sci-fi big budget franchises in general, was its general insistence on a certain level of quality. And I don't think that we have talked about the fall in quality and whether that was a thing or not through phase four to death. And I'm not really trying to have that conversation, but I do think moving forward, something that it's clear to me that just doing things as well as they're being done on HBO or Netflix or wherever is just not really enough. Like, that's not what made the MCU the MCU. The fact that like it could bring people like you that were so skeptical early on around to becoming such a diehard fan, like that is not because you were just someone that was set up to like the subject matter. In some ways, I feel like you're set up not to love the subject matter, but it brought you in because of how well the story was being told. And I just think that like that's part of why I'm still so okay with them slowing down, because the truth is, I just don't think Marvel putting out stuff that is on par is going to be enough. It needs to be something that people go into skeptical of and come out with, you know, eyebrows blown raised away. Because
yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure, and I'm not, but I think that's, they have to figure out a way of. And they have, like, No Way Home was very much that, you know. No Way Home.
Yes, correct.
Was, and that was less than 2 years ago. It's not like we're living in like a post Marvel world or something, but it's just, you know, the ingredients are still there, but you got to have, I don't know, whether it's less cooks in the kitchen or whatever.
I get what you're saying.
But I think that, I don't know, like some of the things that we've seen coming out, are really encouraging to me in that sense.
Agreed.
Like the changing the date things are released on, the pushing things back, the fact that we have not had, we've only had what, two or three MCU projects the entire year. Is that right? As of now?
Yeah. Yeah. Quantumania, Guardians 3, and Secret Invasion, right? That's it.
Yeah. So
that's,
you know,
way slower.
I think I feel, It's. I mean, it's crazy when you compare that to how many we had between like January and November in 2021.
It's funny when you say it like that too, because you and I liked all three of those. I mean, we had such a fun time at Quantumania.
Oh yeah,
in California. So yeah, I agree. In Call of Duty Warzone, they have seasons, and then in the middle of the season, they have a mid-season update that they call Reloaded. This is our season four, Friends from Work Reloaded. Which is, episodes are now on Mondays. We have some really fun stuff coming this fall. As we mentioned earlier, I actually launched a side podcast covering some football. So if you wanna follow the NFL with some fun guests, I have a really fun guest for this week. The Washington Commanders DC sports radio personality is joining me on Thursday. So like, if you're into the NFL, I think we're creating a fun show over there. Screensavers covering some of the other films. And then we are back and better than ever with Friends from Work and Friends from Work Plus. Lots of content on both. Check out our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And then we are going to be going back through some rewatch episodes and then ramping up towards Loki, which, speaking of the quality, looks like it has that quality factor in it. And we know y'all love Loki. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And we'll see you next time right back here on Friends from Work.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.